prayer a way of life. Make prayer a way of life. He began by saying, with all. Another way of saying that is through prayer and petition. Pray at all times in the Spirit. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Make prayer a way of life. So when we make prayer and petition at all times, prayer may be just general prayer, just praying, talking to God in a general way. Petition usually means you're interceding for someone. You're asking God to move in a great way. You're asking God to touch somebody. You're asking God to move. Right now, I'm convinced that one of the places we need petition is for this United States and for the state of California. We need to pray that God will move among us. And by the way, I'm just grateful to know He still moves. He still answers. It's in your bulletin, but I'll just remind you of this. There was a bill called AB 2943, which would have put in jail or fined individuals who sold materials to anybody who wanted to get out of homosexuality. That went to the Senate. It went to the Assembly. The author talked to Christian leaders and psychologists and others who had been involved, and afterwards he pulled the bill. Now, why did he do that? God's Spirit was worked. Because, folks, that don't ordinarily happen. So what I'm saying is you pray, God still works. God still moves. God still touches people. And so we want to be a way of life. So pray at all times, he said. Make it a part of our pattern of living. Let me look at the scripture passage. It's on your notes. The first one says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. That was the beginning of Christianity's movement when the Holy Spirit came and 3,000 were saved and they started getting together. I still kind of jealous. I'd kind of like to have been in on that first church. That atmosphere, that attitude. I mean, it when you read it, it just had to be a wonderful time. But notice what they were, among all things they were doing, was they were persevering or they were continuing in prayer. It was a part of what they were doing as a way of life. So I want to make it a way of life. What I'm suggesting is, does that mean that you got to be down on your knees all day long? No. But can you go to work and as you drive to work, pray? Can you, if you're doing working around the house, pray while you're doing whatever? See, I want to make it so much a part of my life that it's just natural, that it's just normal to be praying. If I'm out raking pine needles, or if I'm on the roof, or if I'm washing dishes, or whatever I'm going on. I do wash them once in a while. But that my mind is thinking about God, talking to God, praying to God. God, how do you want me to do this? God, how can I honor you in it? And it becomes a part of our life. So when it becomes a way of life, he said, pray at all times. Then it becomes a natural part of our life. And we don't, in a way, we don't really have to think about it. It just becomes a part of us. Can that happen? I want to talk some more about what the value of that in a minute. But just as I read this, he said, pray at all times. I listed in your notes another scripture from the Old Testament about prayer, which you're very familiar with. It was the man named Daniel. And if you remember, Daniel had some people who didn't like him. In fact, they got the king to pass a law that they couldn't pray to anybody but the king for 30 days, if you remember the story. They did it because they wanted to get Daniel in trouble. And if you remember in that account, the law was, if you pray to anybody but the king for 30 days, you get thrown in the lion's den. When Daniel heard about that, I want you to notice this scripture. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Did you get that last part? His custom. His way of doing it since early days. It wasn't something new for Daniel to pray. Oh, I'm going to be in trouble now because I can't pray to anybody. No, he'd just been praying all along and he just kept on doing what he'd been doing. So it was not a question about, well, let's see. I've got this law, so I better go home and shut all my windows, close all the blinds, and then pray. He just kept on doing what he'd been doing. That's the way he'd been praying all along. May God help us that our seeking God and our fellowship with God and our is a part of just the way I go every moment of every day. I'm just praying, talking to Him. By the way, do I need God at all? I know that's... But praying is one way of saying, God, I need You. I need Your hand, I need Your guidance, I need Your direction, I need Your protection, I need Your love, whatever. And I'm glad that God gives us this opportunity to pray. Aren't you glad you can talk to God? Think about it. He lets you come and talk to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, the One who rules everything, says, you can come and talk to Me through My Son Jesus. And what a privilege it is to just keep on talking to Him. So, I believe there's a value in prayer individually. But is there a value in prayer together? Is there something about praying together that has a different dimension to it than when we get on our knees or however you pray at home by yourself or as a couple or family? Since that is true, I'm going to encourage you to come on Wednesday night prayer time at 6:30. Because I believe God does something different when His people pray. Now, I recognize on prayer meeting night, some people don't pray out loud. Can you pray in your heart and mind and not pray out loud? Does that work? So let me just suggest to you that maybe you pray. Put it this way. Pray about praying, okay? Does God want you to be a part of prayer time as a body of believers? Now, that's not the only time. We pray at other meetings. We have a prayer chain that when somebody has a special need, we call and we pass the word around. And sometimes it gets through straight. I mean, never mind. You laugh, but you know what happens. But listen, even in that, we're praying as a group of believers for a particular issue. Does God know what we're praying about, even if it does get mixed up down the chain somewhere? He does. Does it make any difference? It makes all the difference in the world. I know from personal experience, you know from experience, others have, that something happens when you pray together about an issue and God is at work. Those of us who have been in hospitals and so on, when somebody, and you know you're there and you know people are praying for you, something happens in you. Because they're praying over there. They're not where you are, but something's going on. God's touching. God's working. God's speaking. And you've had that over in a multitude of ways. So, what I'm suggesting is, if I'm to win this battle, I want to be praying as a way of life, as a common, ordinary, normal way, not something unusual. Second, he said, pray always in the Spirit, in verse 18. Pray in the Spirit. Well, there's probably more than one way to think about that, but let me suggest one. To me, to pray in the Spirit means I ask the Holy Spirit to teach me how to pray. This passage I've listed on your notes is familiar to most of us probably. It says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. What a wonderful promise. We don't always know how to express or to pray. You've come to those times, haven't you? You come to pray about something or need, and you just don't seem to get a hold of what to do. And you just begin praying, ask God to teach you, show you how to pray. And then in addition to that, as I read this scripture passage, he says, Holy Spirit of God is going to intercede for us. Because God knows the mind of the Spirit. The Father knows the mind of the Holy Spirit. Because He what? Holy Spirit intercedes for the saints how? According to the will of God. Now, if He's interceding according to the will of God, guess what? It's going to happen. Spirit of God. So, when we talk about praying in the Spirit, I think that's part of it, is to say, Lord, I need You to help me pray here. Just tell me what to say, how to say it, what to do. Do you ever pray sometimes, and as you're praying, you say something, and you say, well, I don't remember, I never thought of that before. Where'd you get that? Holy Spirit puts in your mind some things you ought to pray about.
Sometimes you'll be thinking or you'll be about your business and somebody's name will pop in your mind. There's a certain person. It's sort of, that's Holy Spirit saying, pray for that person. Lift them up because they need me. They need you to lift me up. But you don't have to know what's going on. I know sometimes we want to know all the details when we get a prayer request. Do we need to know all the details? Does God know all the details? So I can just lift it up and say, God, here's this person and they're in need. And God, I thought about it and it seems to me for some reason I need to pray for them. So God, I'm just going to pray for them. I've had individuals tell me later that they realized something was going on at that moment in their life that God wanted us to pray for. So the Holy Spirit of God helps us to know that. But I also think He gives us instructions and direction in our mind how to pray, what to pray. I'm glad I'm not left alone to my own skills and when it comes to praying. Now, let me suggest to you that some of you hesitate to pray out loud so anybody can hear you because you don't sound like Pastor so-and-so or missionary. Listen, what does God want from you when you pray? What does He want from you? From your heart, your concerns, your praises, your adoration. And that's all He wants. He doesn't care whether you use any of the King's English or not. He doesn't care whether you use the here, thou's, or here, wherefores, and whatever. You just say, God, I need you. I like the one in the New Testament where Jesus said, the man went like this. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible says he went home justified above the man who was so big and bragging about how good he was. He looks down here. One of the blessings that I have as a pastor sometimes at men, those Wednesday night prayer meetings or other places, every once in a while I hear a new believer or a person who's starting to pray, I love it. Because they don't have to do all the fancy stuff. I'm serious. They just sort of tell them that's what God really wants from our heart. What's on our mind? Because He knows it anyway, but He knows it all, but He wants us to talk to Him, but He wouldn't told us to do it in the first place. But to me, it's praying in the Spirit. Let me suggest one other way to pray in the Spirit. Take God's Word and pray it back to Him. Lord, You're my shepherd. I will not want. You won't let me. I lay down by the streams or by still waters. You're going to take care of me. And just start praying God's Word back. You suppose He likes His Word back? Yeah. Is that part of praying in the Spirit? Who gave us the Word in the first place? God's Holy Spirit directed the writing of the book, didn't He? So praying in the Spirit means I just give it back to Him. I like those passages, like in Ephesians, the first part of the chapter, when it talks about Him praying. He said, I've not ceased to give thanks for you in making mention of my prayers. To God, Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Can you turn that around and say, God, would you pray for Joe here? Would you give him a spirit of wisdom and revelation? Would you show him your truth? Would you show him the greatness that's beyond all others? Would you show him according to your might? Does that matter? Does that work? Absolutely. Because it's His Word. To me, that's a part of praying. And then you want God's Spirit to be in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. You want to be genuine. You don't want to go through the routines. Have you ever gone through a routine prayer? And when you get through, you feel empty? I have. I don't like those times. I like it when out of here, there's a concern, there's a praise and adoration. So, pray in the Spirit always with His direction. Another area is pray so I keep alert. He said, pray at all times in the Spirit with this in view, be on the alert. What in the world does prayer and being alert have to do with each other? Well, let me look at the scripture passage there below that. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Keep alert. Do we really have an opponent? Do we really have a devil, an enemy who wants to undermine the things of Christ particularly? Can you and I ever get deceived a little bit? But if I'm praying and saying, God, show me the truth, can, as I pray, Holy Spirit say, wait a minute. As you pray, something doesn't fit here. You need to check this out. I think, because if I'm in tune with God, and He and I are talking together in prayer, and something comes up out here that's going to bug me, or is dangerous to me, can the Holy Spirit of God, as I pray, say, watch out for this. Keep me alert. I don't know. I get so busy sometimes, bogged down and stuff, I forget to talk to God. I shouldn't tell you that. Huh? A preacher ought to always do that. But when you come back and start praying, God's Spirit will say, What about this? What about this? What about that? I believe that prayers are very important because it keeps me alert to what's going on around me and to what God's saying, what Holy Spirit's saying. Do you expect God to talk to you when you pray? Now, I'm not talking about hearing out here in the ear. Some people have said they've heard, and I don't question that. Most of us hear inside us. We just, in our spirit, we just know it's God. And we are grateful that when it's there, He's speaking to us and He's challenging us. He's calling us to a new life. Sometimes He alerts us to the fact there's something wrong inside us. Something needs to be changing here. Because of the Scripture that says your iniquities keep you from being heard as you pray. And God may be saying there's a problem inside your heart. You're doing something or thinking something or an attitude wrong, and I need to clean that up first so I can hear you. And so we ask Him to be alert to that. Jesus, I think, had that in mind in the passage I listed on the bottom of your notes. And He came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "So you men could not keep watch with me 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter temptation. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Jesus said to the disciples, need to keep watching and praying lest you enter temptation. You mean if I'm not actually attuned with God, it gives an opening for the tempter to come in a little better? He said, keep praying lest you enter into temptation. Now, I know that temptation can come in the midst of prayer. I suppose all of you have been in a real serious prayer time, all of a sudden here comes this thing in your mind. And you say, wait a minute, that's not me. That didn't come from me, that came from the devil. God, take this out of my mind. And you alert to the fact that that didn't come from you. See, the devil wants you thinking that's your thought. That's who you are. No, if you're a child of God, and that ungodly thought that popped in your mind didn't come from God, it didn't come from you, who'd it come from? So I need to be alert to the fact that God, the enemy, is trying to sidetrack me and to get me off. Because what we're talking about in this passage of Scripture in Ephesians is the spiritual warfare of winning the battles that come. And a lot of the battles is up here. And so that's why I need to be keeping alert with prayer. And Jesus said to those disciples, keep on praying. I need you to keep on praying. Of course, Jesus is getting ready for the most critical moment of his life in the cross, but he's asking him to pray for them. On the other side of your notes, pray with perseverance. Pray with perseverance. He said, with all prayer, with this in view, be on the alert with perseverance. Perseverance. You mean that I can't say, okay, Lord, take care of it now? Thank you. You mean it's all right to pray about an issue more than once? You mean it's all right to pray maybe twice? I remember, and I've shared this before, brought a lady who was in the last church I served, whose husband was a lost man, didn't know Jesus. You know how long she prayed? And prayed and prayed 50 years. But before he died, 3 years I think it was, he became a believer in Jesus. The devil wants to hear you say, come to you and say, it's not doing any good. Your situation isn't changing. That person isn't making any difference. Nothing's happening. What I want to happen isn't happening. But I want to say, God, I'm going to keep on, keep on, keep on as long as I've got breath. Trusting you to speak to me or to deal with whatever it is. Persevere. The passage I list on your notes in Luke 18:1 says, now he was telling them a parable to show them that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. If you look at the rest of that passage, he tells a story about a woman who persevered in prayer. And he came and said, why don't you help me? And the king or the ruler said, I don't have... But she kept on in... And Jesus said in that account, because she keeps on pestering me, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, I'll give her what she asked for. And then he says, when Jesus comes, will there be faith on the earth? That is, will people really be believing him enough to keep on asking him? What he's saying in that parable, if you read that whole section, is if an ungodly man will listen to somebody's persistence, just think how much a holy, righteous, eternal God will listen as you keep on praying and keep on praying and keep on praying. Folks, we need to pray like that for this state, for this nation, for our friends and our neighbors. Keep on, keep on, keep on. Because the enemy says, you just quit. He's not going to do you any good. Because he can get you discouraged and quit. He's won a battle as far as you're concerned. And I need to say, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on crying out to you. I'm going to keep on listening to you. And one of these days, it may come, but if not, I'm still going to pray. I like what Job said, though he slay me, I'm going to trust him anyway. I mean, if I don't get what I want, he's still God. He's still sovereign. He's still in charge. He's still running the show. And he knows better than I do what ought to happen. And so I'm saying, God, I'm going to keep on praying. I like what the disciples said to Jesus. Jesus said to the disciples, when some people left him, he turned to the disciples and said, will you go away too? You remember what they said? Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. You're it. I don't have if you're not there, I'm out of luck. And so I keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. Keep on praying. And someday we'll see some victories, and not all of them, some. I've seen some. You've seen some. I've seen the people healed. I've seen the people delivered. I've seen some people saved that people thought would never be saved. You don't know when God's going to change. That person's going to let him. Now, they have to let him understand that, but God's going to work. So, I'm going to pray. The devil ain't going to win. I'm going to keep on praying. Talking to my mighty God. The battle's still the Lord's. I like that song. Anyway. Then he went on to say, pray for the saints. Verse 18 again. Pray with perseverance and petition for all the saints. All the saints. You mean we're not the only believers on the face of this earth? Why should I pray for somebody clear across the country in another land? They'll never know me. I'll never know them. That's right. God knows. I've read and as we've talked, several of us have talked, Marilyn talks to missionaries. In the Open Windows magazine, there's a place where missionaries' names are listed each day. And missionaries give testimony that on their birthday, something happens. God does something. Because people all over the United States and part of the world, I don't know how far it goes, pray on that day for them. Pray for the saints. Pray for the saints. It says, you also... joining and helping through your prayers so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. Pray for the saints. Do you suppose that those saints out there, here in our county, state, and nation, do you suppose they're dealing with the same kind of stuff we deal with? Do you suppose they have the same needs that we have? And prayer can accomplish a great deal as we keep on praying for them. Pray for the fellow saints. Pray for one another. I encourage you to pray for one another. If you have a copy of the church directory, take it out sometime and just go down and start praying for people. Does that matter? Pray for the saints. Because you know as well as I do, the devil likes to defeat saints. And especially, he likes to defeat Christian leader saints. You need to pray for pastors and people in leadership. Because you know as well as I do, that if he can get one of them to fall, he makes a big whack when he gets through. All effect. Anytime we disobey God, we affect more people than we think we do. But especially, we need to pray for the saints. Pray for their courage. Pray for their safety. Pray that they'll understand. Pray that they'll grow in the Word. Pray that they'll know Jesus. Pray for the fellow saints along the way. Pray for those saints. And I would say, please, would you put me in that group? I need your prayer. Pastor Ryan needs your prayers. We're no bigger or better than anybody else. But the enemy likes to whack on church leaders. He does. Not only pastors, but other leaders, deacons and teachers. Because he can get one of you as a leader to stumble. He affects more people. Pray. Pray for their well-being. Pray for their security. Pray that they'll know the Word. Pray that they'll be faithful. Pray for their well-being. Pray for their protection. Pray for the saints. So I hope you leave here today and you start praying for all the saints. Pray for everybody you think of that's a believer. I pray for my fellow pastors in this county. I know many of them by name. I pray for them. Jay Donnelly down New Life. Or Mark Lehman, the Nazarene Church. I can go on and name several. I pray for those men because they love Jesus. They don't always do things the way I do it. That isn't the issue. They love Jesus and they're trying to share Christ. I pray for their well-being. Because if one of those men gets into trouble in their church, it affects the whole kingdom of God. And I pray for those saints. I pray for you. Let me suggest one of the things you want to pray for is young people and kids and young married people. They're in our church fellowship. We have some younger adults who are not living here right now, but are believers. We need to pray for them. Some of you know some of these kids that I know. Some of you have children here that are young marriage. The enemy likes to tear up those marriages. You need to pray for those saints. That they'll stay strong. They'll stay true. And they don't allow the devil to cause them to get distracted. I've got several grandkids who are young marriage. I pray for them that God would protect that marriage and protect that relationship. Because it not only affects my son or my daughters, but it affects their kids and their kids and the kids around them. Oh, folks, we need to pray. Let's pray. Because we have an enemy who likes to undo it all if he can and create havoc. So, pray for the saints. I hope we'll leave here doing that today. The last thing, pray that we will boldly share Jesus. The last two verses that I read, 19 and 20, said to pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, who is writing this? Who is writing this passage of Scripture says, pray for me that I might speak boldly as I ought to speak? Apostle Paul. If I thought anybody was bold, I think he was. And yet, what's he saying? Pray for me that I'll speak boldly and I'll speak as I ought to speak, what I ought to say. So we need to pray, God, not only help us to be bold, but to know how to say it and when to say it. We need discernment by God's Holy Spirit. So we pray, Lord, teach me to be bold, but know how to do that. If you walk up to a person and just start beating on them about they ought to know Jesus, don't go very far. But if you get to know them and love on them and share with them and invite them to know, the door may be open. There are times when you may need to be really upfront and with situations. But the other times, so you need to say, God, give me discernment. That I may speak boldly doesn't mean to speak brashly. It means just to stand up and say what we ought to say in the spirit in which we ought to say it. You see, sometimes we think boldness means you just got to bowl people over. No, that's not it. You're just saying, God, give me the courage to say to this individual, where you're headed is not good. You need to change in life. There's someone who loves you. Yeah, there'll be times they don't accept that, but that's not my problem. You do it in the right spirit. We'll share. So he said, I pray that we'll boldly share Jesus as we ought to speak. Two passages I've listed on your notes to think about. The one in Acts 4, if you remember the whole setting, these disciples had been told, you can't talk about Jesus anymore. If you do, we're going to... Did I mess up my mic? We're going to cut your head off or you're going to die. And they began to pray. And here's what they said. Now, Lord, look on the threats and grant to your servants that with boldness we may speak your word. What are they praying? God, give us boldness. Can you pray that? Do you need to pray that? I need to pray that because sometimes I'm a chicken. No, be honest. Sometimes we know we ought to share, but we don't. And when you say, God, change my spirit to see the need to share Jesus with those people in the opportunities He's given to us. I have regretted passing up some opportunities once in a while. Because some of those people died and went to hell, as far as I know. I never introduced them to Jesus. Now, somebody else may have, and I hope they did. But may God help us to have this attitude that, Lord, we may speak your word no matter what. Because eternity does hang in the balance. It really does. Whether they're going to spend eternity with God in heaven or they're going to spend eternity without Him. That's the bottom line in all that we're talking about, isn't it? I forget that. I like to kind of think, well, that's all right. They won't really go to hell. They'll just, yeah, they will. I need to remember that. God will give me that boldness. Pray. He said, grant your servants that they may speak your word with boldness. If you read that passage in Acts 4, you read on down, it says, Holy Spirit came and they began to speak the word of boldness. So may God help us. I pray He'll come upon us as a congregation and say, give us boldness to just share your word because a lot of people need it. The other passage from Colossians says, praying at the same time for us as well that God will open up to us a door for the word. Is that all right? God open up a door. And when I get the door, I'm going to walk through it. When I get the door, I'll walk through it. So that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I've also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Pray. God wants to give us spiritual victory. Lives transformed. Souls saved. But we need to pray for it. Pray that God will give us the kind of boldness and the kind of urgency that He has for these people around us. I'm sure glad my mom and some others prayed for me. I'm sure partly because of that I became a child of God. My life's been changed. Somebody prayed for me. I want to be one of those who's praying for other people around me. For the saints, yes, but also for those who are not saints yet, but who can become saints. And I pray that God will move in my heart, in your heart, and in this world. Because after all, I like what Doug said. He didn't know I was going to pick on him. I didn't either till now. But they go to the colleges and share the truth about life and abortions and so on. But I remember Doug said, I may be able to convince one student not to have an abortion. But if they don't come to know Jesus, they may turn around and go back and do it again. But if they meet Jesus, they're changed inside. See, that's what I want to happen. Yeah, I want to preserve as many lives as we can. I agree with that. But I want the heart changed. The life changed. Because that's eternal relationships. So, this passage of Scripture says, praying with all prayer and petition. in the Spirit. Be alert with perseverance. Pray that I open my mouth, that I'll speak boldly. You can pray this for me, as I ought to speak. Because the only hope this world has got is Jesus Christ and the life being lived for Him and by His grace. Let's bow. Thank you, Lord, for coming to us in the first place and letting us know You. Thank you, God, for coming to me. I pray, Lord, that You do these things that I preach about in my life today and in the future days. Lord, may I have that sense of urgency about how important it is to declare You. May we as a body of believers become more prayer warriors than ever, because victories are won on our knees. Victories are won as we pray. And Lord, right now, I pray for any person who's in this room who doesn't know Jesus, trying to face life, deal with issues on their own, and they need to know Jesus. May Your Holy Spirit draw that individual to You, and may they say yes to You and discover the joy of knowing Jesus Christ as a forgiver of their sins and the Savior of their soul and the eternal keeper of their life. Lord, touch each of us who are Your children. You know what needs to happen to us individually and us collectively. Thank You for being here, and thank You for what You're saying. Now we choose, Lord, to say yes to those directions and understandings You put in our minds and hearts today, individually and collectively, to say yes to You. That's what it's all about. We commit it to You right now in Jesus' name. Amen.